From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, July 15th, 2025. A federal judge has blocked Maine's new law capping the amount individuals can contribute to so-called super PACs. Kevin Miller has more.
The ballot initiative approved by Maine voters last year would set a $5,000 annual limit on donations to political action committees that make, quote, independent expenditures to candidate campaigns. Supporters say the cap is needed to avoid potential quid pro quo corruption. But two Maine super PACs challenged the new law in court. And on Tuesday, U.S. Magistrate Judge Karen Frank Wolf declared the restrictions unconstitutional and blocked enforcement of the law. Wolf wrote that the Supreme Court's 2010 decision in Citizens United clearly prohibits any limits on contributions to groups that spend money to support or defeat candidates independently from those campaigns. The backers of last year's ballot initiative not only expected a legal challenge, they welcomed it. That's because they believe the Supreme Court hasn't addressed this specific issue involving super PACs, and they hope their case will eventually land in front of the high court. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Maine Senator Angus King urged his Senate colleagues today to vote against an effort by the Trump administration to claw back more than $9 billion in federal funding. King called the proposed cuts to federal aid programs a total abdication of America's engagement with the world. The Independent highlighted cuts to two global health programs that aim to prevent the spread of AIDS and measles.
Just those two programs together, those two USAID projects, have saved 36 million lives, and we're talking about cutting them off. That's not only bad policy, it's cruel.
Republican Senator Susan Collins has also raised serious concerns about cuts to those aid programs and to public broadcasting. She's considered a swing vote. Changes to the bill were already underway as of Tuesday evening. The Senate has until Friday to act on the rescission bill, or the measure will die. Maine is joining more than 20 other states in suing the Trump administration to restore billions of dollars in frozen education funding. Maddie Smith has more.
An estimated $25 million in grant funding is being withheld from Maine public schools for six programs supporting teacher development, adult literacy, after-school programs, and more. In an email, the Department of Education said the funds were in review to, quote, ensure resources are spent in accordance with the president's priorities. The complaint was filed in Rhode Island District Court and says the decision was unlawful and has caused chaos across educational systems. School districts say the delay will prevent them from finalizing their budgets by the beginning of their fiscal year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
The debate over the rollout of Maine's paid family and medical leave law has reached the state Supreme Court, where justices heard oral arguments today in a suit targeting the State Department of Labor. The Maine State Chamber of Commerce and Bath Iron Works argue that they shouldn't have to pay into a public fund that started in January, as they intend to use a private plan. Sarah Murphy is an attorney for the Chamber and Bath Iron Works.
This appeal presents a straightforward question of statutory interpretation. The law says employers opting to use a private plan need not pay. The rule mandates the opposite. That should be the end of this case.
Lawyers for the Department of Labor say the law creates an exemption only for private plans that have been approved, and that process did not begin until April, about 3 months after the fund started collecting payments. A new report shows that Maine is closer than ever to eliminating underground drains that dump raw sewage into waterways. But as Peter McGuire reports, a wetter climate is working against the state's attempts to prevent water pollution.
Maine has managed to reduce the flow of waste and stormwater from combined sewer overflows to a tenth of what it was in the late 1980s. But Mike Riley from the State Environmental Protection Department says recent downpours are making the problem worse.
We are seeing more intense storms. The inches per hour has gone up, and that's a real threat to sewer systems because they can't, handle a lot of water in a short period of time. It can overwhelm them.
According to a new state report, about 530 million gallons of tainted water were discharged last year. Pollution is worse in the winter when the frozen ground cannot absorb runoff. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Today is the deadline for candidates for Congress and governor to report how much money they've raised for their campaigns. The filings show that the money race is on. Kevin Miller brings us this additional report.
Maine's party primaries are roughly 11 months away, but campaign finance reports are one indicator of how aggressively candidates are working to gain name recognition and court donors. In the governor's race, Democrats Shenna Bellows and Hannah Pingree each reported raising more than $500,000 for their campaigns. Angus King III trailed not far behind with $434,000. Several Republicans also broke the six-figure mark. GOP contenders Bobby Charles and Owen McCarthy both raised more than $200,000. And so did independent Rick Bennett, who doesn't have to win a party primary. Turning to Maine's high-profile congressional contests, the Democratic field hoping to challenge Republican Senator Susan Collins is far from set. But Jordan Wood reported hauling in more than $1.6 million.
We're extremely proud of the broad coalition and support that we've received across the state to raise $1.6 million. The number is great, but what I am most proud of is the fact that we had supporters, contributors to this campaign from over 300 towns across the state.
That's roughly $400,000 more than Collins raised during the three-month period. But the five-term incumbent has more than $5 million in her campaign war chest. Over in the 2nd Congressional District, Democratic Representative Jared Golden raised $820,000, while former Republican Governor Paul LePage received more than $550,000 in donations. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Covenant Health, the parent company for St. Mary's Health System, is offering free credit monitoring for certain patients affected by a recent data breach. The organization says it will also provide identity theft protection for patients whose Social Security numbers may have been involved in the incident, which occurred in mid-May. Covenant Health is also encouraging patients to carefully review statements and to contact their insurance company if they're billed for medical services they didn't receive. Democratic State Senator Rachel Talbot Ross was in the nation's capital today to tout a new bill that would pave the way for states to create universal health care. Talbot Ross said during a press conference that if Congress approves the state-based Universal Health Care Act, it will put a 2021 Maine law into motion that directs the state to create a universal health care plan.
We are hopeful that this is the time to act, that we will get this done. There's no doubt we will get this done over the line.
Democratic congressional sponsors of the proposal say it's especially needed now following the recent approval of the federal budget bill that cut more than $1 trillion in health care spending, and that's expected to result in millions of people across the United States losing health insurance. Beloved poet, performer, activist, and Maine native Andrea Gibson died from cancer on Monday at age 49. Gibson's vulnerable poetry about gender identity, queer politics, love, and death inspired fans to accept themselves and embrace life. Nora Sachs has more.
Every time I ever said, I want to die, I meant I am willing to do anything to live.
That's even poet Andrea Gibson. Though Colorado was their chosen home, Gibson grew up in Calais, played high school basketball, and studied creative writing at St. Joseph's College in Standish before moving to Boulder in 1999. After being diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2021, Gibson wrote openly about the realities of living with a terminal illness and facing mortality, which inspired and comforted many readers. Here's Gibson reading Love Letter from the Afterlife in a final interview. They wrote this poem for their wife, Megan Falley.
Dying is the opposite of leaving. I want to echo it through the corridor of your temples. I am more with you than I ever was before.
A social media post announcing Gibson's passing has generated an outpouring of grief and gratitude for their art. And as one fan put it, leaving stretch marks on all of our hearts. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the latest on broadband in Maine. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.